So my name is Molly McKinney, bringing global health to class. This is a pilot test that we've done of a global health simulation. And I have no relationships to disclose. So first and foremost, I don't know if you all have friends in the room, but I want you to turn to at least one person and give them a fist bump. Aaron, Phil, somebody fist bump. There we go. All right, everybody got a fist bump? Did you fist bump? Okay, all right. Just I didn't, but thank you. You're going to need to remember your fist bump here in a little while. Okay, so what is global health? Global health is important. We're talking about health. We're talking about all the different kinds of health. We're talking about the different aspects. Physical, spiritual, environmental, all of these things go into health. And consequently, when we get on here in a little bit, we're going to be looking at these things on a global perspective. We're looking at different types of health care. Throughout the world, I'm sure some of you have traveled far and wide, you have seen healthcare systems in various and assorted, class systems. I just got back from Cuba this spring, and it was mind-blowing experience to see their health system at work and what kind of healthcare they have access to compared to what we have access to. And health equity, looking at how different groups have access to that care or don't have access to that care. Looking at who are we talking about with global health? People throughout the developed world and the developing countries. Is this a human right? That's kind of one of the questions we always ask in global health class, something that we'll speak about in a little while here too. And how? How are we getting this global health? How are we teaching global health to students? And that's really the crux of my issue today. So global health is important. Our world is shrinking. We are able, if we wanted to right now, we could go to O'Hare and literally go anywhere in the world with somebody's very high expense account. We could do that. We are so interconnected. We can go anywhere. And that hasn't always been the case. Cultural competence is also becoming more and more important. In healthcare, in education, we need to be aware of people's cultural expectations, cultural practices, and be respectful of those things. And then the impact of disease. My students don't, they're sometimes very ethnocentric and think, American diseases are the same as diseases around the world. They're really not, though. People in different areas experience disease differently. And it's something that we really need to make our students understand. So the current state of global health in education, it is becoming more and more important and more integrated in education, which is so exciting for me. Many medical schools are incorporating this into their medical education. Granted, it's like one class or maybe a piece of a class, but still, it's getting in there and it's becoming more and more important. And even in our public health education, now we're seeing biology of global health and international health studies being worked into concentrations and things in master's program and PhD programs. So this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue, and more people are becoming aware of how important it is. Now to bring it down to my current issue, we have created a general education requirement for our students, and we term it the diversity requirement. Global health is one of the options in this diversity requirement. So we're having students, if you know anything about gen ed, you're getting students from all over, business majors and criminal justice majors, people that are not necessarily interested in health, taking this course. How do you get these people interested? How do you get them to understand? My demographic that I'm working with is maybe even a little more intense in that we have a lot, like 33% of our student body are first generation college students. that to me is a big deal and a big statement on where they're coming from. And to kind of reinforce that point, many of our students, there's kind of this strange continuum. Either they have never been out of the county of their birth, or they have traveled extensively, but they have traveled extensively on mission trips. And while I think that that's great, and mission trips sometimes do offer a good look at global health, sometimes they might not have the same exact perfect ideas or perfect sync with our hopes for global health. So it's a little bit about our students and what we're dealing with. So what I tried to do, what I found in my class, the first year I taught this class, I was so excited, and I asked on an exam, true or false, is Africa a country? Over 85% of the class got that question wrong. And my heart sank. So we're dealing with students that haven't seen the world, that really need some love and support. And I tried my darndest that first semester to make them understand the importance of people around the globe, but I would get a lot of, well, we're going to do this health education program, and we're going to pay for it by having a bake sale at our church. That's one heck of a bake sale. Like, I don't know what kind of brownies you're making, but that's a heck of a bake sale. So they just weren't quite connecting with the major themes and the importance of what global health is. So I created this simulation where they would get into small groups. They each had to choose a part. They had to be an actual actor in global health. And then as we went through the entire semester worth of class, as we talked about environmental impacts of global health, as we talked about communicable diseases, non-communicable diseases, women's health, natural disasters, humanitarian emergencies, they would have to work in their group to figure out how their group would handle each and every one of these issues. So it was a thing. So this is an example of what we did. I usually like my groups 4 or 5 students. They would select a job, that actor portion I talked about. They could pick, they could be a physician, a nurse, the president of their country, a health minister, or an indigenous person. And each of those job titles would get a little section about what that person would be responsible for in their country. And then I would also give them a little blurb about their country specifics. And here I've shared one with you. This country is coastal, has both big cities and rural areas. The big cities have public transportation systems. Average yearly income is about $7,000. They have a high rate of HIV/AIDS. One of the first things I would do is say, name your country and make a flag. So for this particular country, one of the groups of students created this flag. And they might have known that I really liked the silly sci-fi movie Sharknado. But they got it. They were so excited that they got to be creative. And some of their flags were amazing because they really took that information I had given them already and created something. And I think they lose a lot of that in higher education. They lose that creativity. So it's nice to kind of see them be fun and use that in a good, positive way. So Sharknado was one of our countries. So I want you all, your fist bump partner, see, you knew that was coming, right? Your fist bump partner, your fist bump partner in your country, you've been hit by a natural disaster, whether it's an earthquake or a typhoon or a tsunami. Communication lines between rural villages and urban cities have been wiped out. No communication. People are suffering with disease, inadequate housing, and food shortages. What are you and your partner going to do to help your people? talk amongst yourselves for a second. What are you going to do? Yes, you can be a team of three. Hey, back row, don't leave your fist bump partner out.
Your body can't live without water.
That's right.
The food you can live is 3-4 days.
So we'll have to identify more.
And then you need shelter. So the second thing is shelter.
That's
where the water is.
I love listening to public health people. I do. I love how their minds work. It's great. All right. So does everyone have kind of an idea of what your plan of action would be? Everybody have a little bit of a plan? All right. Back row foursome. What's your plan? What are you going to do to help? Okay, all right.
Diplomatic,
right on. All right. Now, my fellow presenters had all sorts of great plans.
Well, we were prioritizing the needs. I don't know if we necessarily figured out how to get to them, but we, you know, you need water, food, and then we started thinking about the spread of disease and what's going on right now over in Calais in France with the Syrian refugees. They have, there's not enough bathrooms. You know, and it's causing a massive problem out there right now. So we didn't come up with solutions, but we prioritized those things.
And that's important. That's what it's all about. What about back row or back area? Oh, they're still talking. Okay. Gentlemen?
Right. Yeah, we were starting to work on the food and water at the Prospero.
Okay. Prioritizing?
And gun
recovery. Okay. Hey, that's all right. You didn't have very much time, so that's okay. In front row?
Shelter and also water and a way to get heat to heat, both for protection and also if you might need it for sanitizing water.
Okay. And back group?
We thought for our natural disaster with tornadoes. And the first thing we would do was any assessment to see what we should focus on first.
I love public health.
We're trying to figure out
what
to do about the sharks.
Yes, well, when sharks are flying, you gotta watch out. Hopefully, Ian's earrings around. I don't know. He's from Sharknado. So you get a little taste of what my students do. With every chapter, we build on the last. We build on that knowledge until they have created an entire country worth of healthcare system and economic system, and they've got something. They leave this class with something. So after three semesters, what I found in class students on both exams and papers have increased about 2%, which to me I thought was a pretty good deal for this pilot study. What I think is even more important, because tests are great and important, but they had a better understanding. When I asked them that Africa question, they got it right. They understood that, and something they had often said prior to implementation of this, is that the people in low-income countries were poor and lazy because they weren't educated. But they weren't educated because they were poor and lazy. And it was this strange cycle that they had in their head, that it wasn't they were looking at getting their needs met, that they couldn't go to school because they were too busy trying to feed their family and do all these other really important things. So it was like this amazing light bulb went on and breakthrough that kind of answers on tests, they stopped happening. They got it. And that to me was incredibly important. I've done a little further research since. I implemented this simulation in interactive televised courses. I don't know if you're familiar at all with those, but I call it beam out to satellite campuses around Kentucky. And there's some distance there. While you are there teaching and they are seeing you teach, it's different than actually being in the classroom. Those students had about a 1% or almost a 1% increase in their grades, but didn't do quite as well. And then I also tried to implement this in a fully online section. And I feel like maybe I needed better direction. Because when you say something in a class, it's maybe easier to clarify. The online course saw virtually no change. But I think with some tweaking of instructions, maybe that could improve, hopefully, or at least change. So future plans, I hope to incorporate more into this country evaluation or country process, and I would love, and we have a little bit of this in class now, but more cooperation between countries. I spend a lot of time on the students building their own countries, but I think it would be great for you to have your political needs met by Christina's country, or help her have her help you with your needs assessment and get that country cooperation going. Kind of incorporate some more out of class things, and ideally I would love to do some kind of fun board game, because I think teaching nowadays, the more you get students involved and in excited about coming to class and make learning not seem like learning, they seem to respond better. And I'll try anything at this point. So, any questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Questions, we'll save to the end.